Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like easy street, there's danger at your door. Think this through with me. Let me know your mind. Whoa, what I want to know is, are you kind? It's a buck dancer's choice, my friend. Better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Whoa, what I want to know, will you come with me? God damn well I declare, have you seen the like? The walls are built of cannonballs, their motto is don't tread on me. Come here, Uncle John's band, play into the tide. Come with me or go alone, he's come to take his children home. It's the same story the crow told me, it's the only one he knows. Like the morning sun you come, and like the wind you go. Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait. Whoa, what I want to know, where does the time go? I live in a silver mine, I call it Beggar's Tomb. I got me a violin, I beg you call the tune. Anybody's choice, I can hear your voice. Whoa, what I want to know, how does the song go? Come here, Uncle John's band, by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Come here, Uncle John's band, play into the tide. Come on along or go alone, he's come to take his children home. Whoa, what I want to know, how does the song go? I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And it's listener-supported radio. So remember, head on over there, either freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Show them some support. Show them some love. Show them the New American Dream sent you. All right, then. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Philip Ferruccio, Frank Cordero, Julius Alafong, Michael Annis, and Karen Kotowski. So this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Northern Minnesota, in Mount Jackson, Virginia, in Denver, Colorado, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. My recommended list for tonight, informationclearinghouse.info. With these stories, a convenient killing of U.S. troops in Syria, another story, bases everywhere except in the Pentagon's report. Let's expose Congress members for the war hawks they are. U.S. has its gun sights on Venezuela. Bernie Sanders could be the U.S. president in 2020, and this is what it means for Israel and the Middle East. Richard Wolff, the next economic crisis is coming. The danger within, Border Patrol is turning America into a constitution-free zone. Also recommended, Common Dreams and Democracy Now! On Democracy Now! And at Common Dreams, all sorts of important issues addressed every day. And of course, we have to always continue to point out that these two outstanding websites will have nothing to do with reporting the truth about 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, Oklahoma City, et cetera, et cetera. And just as with Jon Stewart and Comedy Central, we have to ask, is this because they have...
Mike, are you still there? Mike seems to be having a little problem with his connection to the show. And so we're going to just proceed here. all right. we were talking about whether, anyway, we've come to understand that since 1963 and even before, we've lived in a state, a nation, a republic ruled by deception. We understand. We understand that. Any newspaper, publisher, magazine editor, radio show host, TV news show host of persistence still telling us that Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, still tells us a plane in Shanksville disappeared into that little hole in the ground, still tells us that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy, that James Earl Ray killed Martin King, that Robert Kennedy was murdered by Sirhan Sirhan, deserves nothing but, well, has earned nothing but our convulsive, doubled over laughter. Find an alternative at FFWN, Memory Hole Blog, Information Clearinghouse, The Nuclear Resistor, JamesBetzer.org, New Lies, No Lies Radio, and PenMagazine.us. Our first guest of the evening is Julius Abafong, who tells us this show talks about intellectualism in Cameroon. It looks at how authoritarianism and ethnic politics affect intellectual development and even research writing. Please welcome to the show Julius Abafong from Yaoundé, Cameroon. And we're going to be pulling this up momentarily. Here it comes. It's coming really, really soon. Okay, here we go.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Greetings to our listeners. And Happy New Year to everyone. Since we are, and this is my first appearance of the last month of January. So I wish all of us a Happy New Year 2016. And I pray we all find success as things get unfold. This time I think I'll be talking about how knowledge, in fact, I want
Folks, we seem to be having some technical issues, and I'm going to have to do a little magic here. We're going to go off the air for maybe about a minute while I wave my hands over the computer and see if I can get everything to work. Because for some reason, it sounds like we're only getting like half of the Abafong recording, and that's not working very well for us. So, and Mike keeps dropping. So we're going to just kind of reset things, and we do apologize for this, and please bear with us. We usually don't have technical difficulties like this, and we do apologize. So we'll be right back. Probably 30 seconds to 1 minute.
Hi. Chuck.
Well, hello everyone. I believe that we are we're back here, and I am about to try again in just a little bit different way here with the Julius Abafong recording. This is really good, and he sent it over here to us from Cameroon earlier today. So here we go.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Good evening, and good evening to our listeners. Today, Cameroon is on the top on the show, and we are going to be talking about the ongoing diplomatic incident that is taking place in Cameroon. This incident was sparked since early this week, last week, Thursday the 17th, when the ambassador to the American ambassador to Cameroon, Peter Ballerin, paid a visit to the Unity Palace, that is our own White House, where he held a talk with the president of Cameroon, President Paul Biya. After this meeting, he came out and he was approached by the press, the media, and he told the media exactly what he told the president, and he said this, and I quote, "I suggested to the president that he should be thinking about his legacy and how he wants to be remembered in the history books to be read by generations to come." He adds, I proposed that George Washington and Nelson Mandela were excellent models for him to follow. Then he continues, he also told the president the naked truth about the burning. I mean, he denounced the excesses of the Cameroonian military who are indiscriminately killing innocent people or innocent people living or innocent Anglophones living in the English-speaking part of Cameroon, and who so far have burned down more than 70 villages in these Anglophone regions. So this is the naked truth he told Biya, and this really pierced the Biya regime and every political actor. I mean, from those who support President Paul Biya have come out widely to denounce the ambassador of his outing to the media. One of such is the Minister of Communication, Minister Issa Churuma Bakari, who said, and I quote, "I am really surprised that, or at the statement of the US ambassador, we are victims. The nation as a whole is a victim." By victim, he is saying that he is making allusion to the fact that the Anglophones who are fighting to secede or to separate or to restore their state, the state they had in before 1961, when they get into unification with the French part of Cameroon, are terrorists, in quote. In fact, most of those who support President Paul Biya, most of his ministers and his party people and the Francophones, think that the Anglophones who are fighting for secession, who are fighting to restore their statehood, are terrorists. Some Anglophones, too, who really do not want separation, think that way, too. Another minister, or former minister of Paul Biya, is Garga Aman Aji, who said, Cameroon did not, and I quote him, "Cameroon did not have a lesson to receive from the United States, where police are killing blacks every day." And another Francophone who also came out denouncing the ambassador's outing is a Cameroonian writer who is now a French, a woman called Calixte Beyala, who said, "A private conversation with a head of state should not be commented in public. What we call the diplomatic reserve, and now I think we are out of reserve." So this is a lot of controversial debate has been going on. But in general, I will tell you that most Anglophones, that is, most of those who hail or who are or who were from the former British part of Cameroon, hail or appreciate, congratulate the ambassador's outing, saying that he is doing the right thing. He needs to call the power of Yaoundé or the government of Cameroon to order, because they can't go on killing people indiscriminately and think they will go free. So, and there also some believe that the ambassador was giving a good advice to President Paul Biya, who has been in power since 1982, telling him there is no need, the country is going down the abyss, the country is in conflict, and you are unable to resolve the issue. You are unable to resolve the, you are not even willing to resolve the conflict. So people think that he is giving a golden opportunity for the president to step down and let somebody up, let somebody else come up and see, and let's see if we can resolve the issue or hold a constructive debate with those who do not want to be part of Cameroon. So people have been talking about it, and some other authors, I mean, some Facebook commentators went ahead to give examples, warning, I mean, these are Cameroonians, warning the Cameroonian government that we do not play with the United States. I mean, first of all, let me even give a flashback. I think a week or 2 weeks before this incident, the American ambassador, I mean, the American government offered 2 military jets to the Cameroonian government through the ambassador, and they received it. They were so happy that they got, I mean, assisted them in the fight against Boko Haram in the north. But when he turns around and gives you a good piece of advice, we say, no, he shouldn't be doing that. He's interfering. This is what the Cameroonian authorities are saying, that the American ambassador is interfering into the internal issues of Cameroon. And since Cameroon is a sovereign state, they have no lessons to receive from the United States. But people say, but come on, you just received 2 jets. They just offered you 2 jets, free gift to your defense system. You did not see that as intruding into your private affair. Now that he's advising you for the well-being of the country, he's advising the president for the well-being of the country to step down, you turn around and say he's infiltrating into your private issue. Some sort of hypocrisy is going on here, you know. And that is why some of us, some people, some Anglophones really do not like this Francophone-led government, because they really are not serious in the way they govern things. High rate of corruption, embezzlement, misappropriation, bad jobs, stealing, and all this do not really please some of us. I mean, we Anglophones who were colonized by the British and were taught to be rigorous in the way we manage affairs. So this guy was giving an example to warning those who are supporting Pierre, I mean, who think they are denigrating the United States, tells them that they should be very careful, because when it was time for Charles Taylor to go, President Bush said this, and I quote, "Mr. Taylor must leave now." A few months later, Charles Taylor was in handcuffs in the Hague. When President Obama told Laurent Gbagbo that he should leave power and he wanted to resist, he was taken off power. The same thing with Mobutu Sese Seko, the ex-president of Zaire of blessed memory, with Clinton. When Clinton, through the former ambassador Bill Richardson, asked him to leave, he was like trying to show off with the United States that he cannot leave there. And he was removed from power. The same thing with Jonas Savimbi in Angola. The same thing with Omar El Bashir in Sudan. So there was some sort of a warning to them that be very careful. You don't go challenging the United States. You have no resources intellectually, economically, militarily. You shouldn't even think. A country like Cameroon should not think of challenging the United States. So some of the debates came up, and when I go through the debate, I see that truly in Cameroon we have a problem. We have a problem with the Anglophones, those who were colonized by the British, and the Francophones, those who were colonized by the French. When you read the comments in general, I'm not saying all, the majority of comments made by those who were colonized by the French are in favor of the blasting of the American ambassador by the government of Cameroon. In fact, they go as far as saying that they have no lessons to receive from the United States. The United States should interfere in their internal affairs. The United States is a terrorist state. Thank you.
We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This message brought to you by the Foundation for a New American Dream. Did we go to the moon? Maybe, maybe not. But just like Voldemort and so many discussions that are prohibited in America, it is one that cannot be named. Was 9/11 an inside job? Stop! See, like that, you can't talk about that. Was Paul Wellstone assassinated? A roll of the eyes. You are sent to Siberia by your brother, your mother, and your cousin. Disapparated from the Thanksgiving dinner table. Poof. No one can see you or talk to you. You are a non-person. Might as well go smoke in the garage. Did FDR provoke Pearl Harbor in order to get into World War II? Did the government burn men, women, and children alive at Waco? Was the government involved in the Oklahoma City bombing? Are so-called terror plots and mass murders such as in Aurora, Newtown, and dozens of other, quote, terrorist events actually engineered by the FBI and CIA, NSA, in order to bring about a zeitgeist of fear and scare Americans into accepting a police state? What the hell are chemtrails? What does the government know about UFOs? Why does Sirhan not remember anything about the Robert F. Kennedy shooting? Who shot Martin Luther King? James Earl Ray said he didn't do it. Evidence says the FBI and others did it. Do those questions have merit, or are they preposterous? We will never know, because Brian Williams and NBC and Amy Goodman and NPR are afraid of even the questions. Why? Did Bush steal the elections of 2000 and 2004? Ask these questions on any mainstream or so-called liberal TV show or website or newspaper or radio show, and you will get laughed down. Ask it on the so-called progressive liberal Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart, and they would have tried to humiliate you. Why? Is it because you are truly so hilariously pathetic, or is it because they are so, so afraid? The foundation for a new American dream, because it's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker in Des Moines, Iowa. And we're going to hear right now the conversation between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero.
Hi. Chuck.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Well, I'm right in the middle of trying to set up stuff in the house right before supper. But Ruth says I can go away into the closet room off to the side, go up the stairs, and get this interview in.
Well, okay, that sounds good. Wow, you know, usually people go out of the closet instead of into the closet, but, you know.
the only place I can find to talk to you. Oh,
yeah.
All right, so I'm at the top of the stairs now. I'm in a safe place.
Okay.
Wow. We're in the middle of a very deep freeze, cold here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're having hot dogs and beans and the trimmings. The folks that are providing it, we call them the St. Pius Boys.
Hmm.
They're actually the longest monthly meal provider in our community. They're the ones who put on the 10-year anniversary cookout. And we called them the St. Pius Boys.
Yeah.
Half of them are already deceased. God love them.
Oh, my God.
The ringleader, George Houck, is like 89.
Wow.
I can't believe it. These guys, amazing. So that's just exemplary that this house has been and community has been is supported by people who are old. Because we all started in the same time, and we're getting older. And we survived by the widow's mites, and it's a challenge, but we got to keep looking for more people, younger people in their 60s, to come and help us out. So that being said, the other thing about being old is that it does give one a perspective. And, boy, one does need something like that in these days. It's not always a guarantee, because I'm not saying anybody, the folks of my generation, are any great shakes. Most of the people are just walking in the fog. Truth is, though, the drama in D.C. is captivating. It's like candy. I can't keep away from it, it tastes good, and I am entertained. I just always have to remind myself of the subtext that is so important to keep it real. And when I say it's soap opera and entertaining for me, I'm really telling the truth, because, first of all, that is how it is presented on the TV.
Yes, indeed.
Whatever TV you got, it is presented as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the everything is boxed in the same format. Reality shows and presidency. And there's no carryover. I mean, the veil of differentiation is all gone. Secondly, and this is very important, whichever side you're talking to, let's say I like CNN, sure, who wouldn't? Any thinking human being would. But it doesn't really matter, because the people who work at CNN get the same amount of money as the people who get at Fox.
Yeah,
and it's all run by money.
Yeah,
it's all packaged by money. So I know I'm being played.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's got to be understood. And the characters, this is like it's Shakespearean, because it's so repetitive. We only have so many characters to play, and there's a facade of some kind of plot and conflict and resolution, and one side wins, like the Democrats or the Republicans, like that's a differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Between the larger, it's all a commercial for Wall Street.
Yeah.
And what that's all about, and the elites who are going amok with the planet. The species is in peril. And that's a sobering thing, that should recalibrate almost everything we do. And these folks honestly don't get it. I mean, the CNN, Fox, the DC crowd, Trump, Hillary, I don't think they get it. And I know they don't. I know, but just been around. That's all I can say. I mean, when you would live through Nixon and Reagan,
right,
and Clinton,
and
Obama. I mean, Obama, the best a human being can be. I like the human being, but his years in the presidency he was a psycho killer. He bought into the whole drone warfare and just quadrupled 10 times, made it a key instrument for his killing wing of empire. Didn't like doing torture. Gosh, poor guy. Thank you. And true. I mean, but the truth is, it's just it's a whole empire gone amok. And we I'm just sitting here stewing about this and trying to figure out what to make of the entertainment. Because like anyone else, I can't see how people can have any sympathy for Donald Trump. I mean, even the Republicans. My God, I am so he is so ugly, and that's so revelatory about so many things about what this country's all about. And I don't trust the Democrats, but then I don't trust the FBI. however. From my stairs, where we're feeding the hungry and the poor and people who we're doing what we can, you know, we ain't saints, but I mean, we're just doing the best we can with the people Jesus told us to hang out with in Des Moines, Iowa, and do the best we can with the works of mercy. And I said, try to live in community and not kill each other, which is a low mark. And yet we Americans really have a hard time hitting it. I know, because I've been in this Catholic worker movement for 40 years, and I have a certain sense of how bad we do community.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah.
And yet we're still doing it. So it has a modicum of integrity. And I'm talking to you. When I let you go, I go right back to feeding the poor. This is my my justification. This is how I earn my keep. In such a crazy world.
Well, more power to you, Frank. You know, keep on doing that, because I think that probably makes more difference than anything else any of us do.
I'm a personalist. I'm reading the script, and I'm going to do it. I'm doing it in Des Moines, Iowa. And if you could do it in Des Moines, Iowa, Chuck, you could do it anywhere.
Well, all right.
Just say it. Just say it. Okay, brother.
All right.
All right. Bye bye.
Talk to you next time.
Our next guest of the show is Karen Katowski. Karen Katowski joins us each month from Mount Jackson, Virginia. She's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force who was stationed at the Pentagon building on 9/11. She has been a radio show host. She's a writer. You can find a lot of her writings at lewrockwell.com. And right now we're going to attempt to contact Karen Katowski in Mount Jackson, Virginia.
Hello?
Well, hello, Karen. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream radio show. You are on the air, and hey, we wish you a happy new year.
Oh, happy new year to you too. Yeah, thanks. Great to be here. Sorry I missed the last one. I was in North Carolina with my mom's 80th birthday party, so we had to be there to do that. So happy new year. It is I think a happy new year. I thought a few weeks ago very positive and optimistic about 2019. You know, and it kicked off kind of with this government shutdown, which I want to talk about. It's a kind of a it's kind of a show. It's kind of theater. Some people, a certain number of employees are being hurt, But, you know, I think it's theater and it's educational, and some of the things that we're learning about the partial shutdown. Of course, unfortunately, the military got funded, so the military's not shut down, and neither are any of the military contractors. So all of the media conglomerates that are owned by Lockheed Northrop and Lockheed Martin and, you know, the big companies that are also government contractors and particularly military contractors, these guys were all funded some months ago with some sort of budget. It's not a budget. You can't use the word budget because our government does not budget and doesn't produce budgets, but they were funded. So the military, the military contractors, which is many, and they touch a lot of our lives in so many ways, they were funded. So that's not, you can't, and again, I don't know if Trump planned it this way or not, but it's quite brilliant. Unfortunately, little side note, the Coast Guard is not, it's Department of Transportation, not Department of Defense. It actually has a foot in each camp, but if you don't have a declared war, Coast Guard's not DOD, it remains a Department of Transportation. So the Coast Guard didn't get funded. So Coast Guard, the red-blooded right-wing Republican love the military, you know, they're really complaining the Coast Guard's not getting funded. And a lot of the military people, and I shouldn't say military, a lot of the Republicans who follow social media and that kind of thing, they think the military is not funded, but the military is funded. Only the Coast Guard is not. So you have some limited funding, limited operations with the Coast Guard. But back to educational, what else we learned from this, of course, is that the government has its hands in a lot of things that are quite unnecessary for it to have its hands in. We have the TSA, of course, comes to mind. Has never caught a terrorist, slowed down airplane travel, and the cost of airplane travel, of course, has been increased, and the speed and transit time and pleasure has all been reduced. But, you know, the TSA is not being funded, and, of course, some of these TSA employees, I happen to know guys I graduated high school with that couldn't find a job, work for TSA. They're 50 years old. This is, you know, it's a job for them. It's a job for them. They don't like the TSA any more than anyone else. And some of them are starting to find new jobs, and that's a good thing. And I hope I hope they find those jobs. What we hear is that there are jobs out there. I don't know. They say that unemployment is low. I wish the TSA employees luck, and I hope they find better work that's more rewarding than what they've been doing. But the TSA is certainly not necessary. I mean, if you think it's necessary, you have to wonder how we lived up until, you know, 2001 or two without them. We lived very well, quite frankly. And the fact that they've caught no terrorists on our airplanes, but they certainly have destroyed lots of fingernail clippers and personal scissors and things like that. Of course, anything over 3 ounces has been discarded. You know, they've done great damage to that kind of thing, but they haven't caught terrorists, and they don't catch terrorists, and that's not apparently what they do. So I don't really care that they're not funded, and I think it's a good education for us to see how life has been changed and how it is impacted by this government creation and mandate of the TSA. So there, you have that. And they're not a popular agency. And again, the genius of Trump is that these are the guys he didn't fund. Well, there's very few people going to defend the TSA. Smart move on his part. But I don't know if he planned it that way. We also have IRS. Is working on a skeleton crew. Now, the IRS is not well-loved. Of course, you know, a lot of people overpay their taxes and get a little rebate at the end of their money, no interest, of course, and they think it's great. You know, in the spring, they file and they get money back. Well, those people who didn't plan properly and they let the government use their money, and that's okay. It's a little bit fun. It's like a Christmas present. Some of those people may be upset, but most of the people who manage their money by letting the federal government retain more in taxes than they should and then getting something back at the end of the year, most of these people are lower income people. I'm sorry, you know, we have a two-party system in this country. Well, we also have independents and non-voters. That's the majority party. But of the voting parties, we have two parties, Republicans and Democrats, and the Democrats are very much more likely as a party to be impacted by or filled with people who are impacted by the IRS, skeleton crew and the slowdown, potential slowdown. Now, we don't know if it's a slowdown yet, but the potential slowdown in getting their you know, their money back from the IRS that they let the government have no interest, interest-free, for the entire year. Now, did Trump plan it this way? I don't know, but it was smart because he's only hurting Democrats. He's not hurting most Republican and independent voters because they don't live and die by, you know, how much money the IRS is going to give them of their own money. Again, this is their money that they shouldn't be letting the government have, but they do because it's a convenient way to save. So, you know, whatever. Interesting.
Aaron, I'm having a little trouble hearing you now. Are you still there? Huh. Well, we seem to have an interesting problem here, folks. We're going to try contacting Karen again. And we'll see if we can get the last 5 minutes of her interview. Hopefully we are still on the air.
Hello?
Karen? Hi, Karen.
I did not hang up on you.
I didn't think you did. We have had interesting challenges on this show, folks dropping and so forth, but we seem to be back on the air, and we certainly appreciate that, and please continue. I'm enjoying what you're saying.
Well, you know, one of the other things we're learning as a result of this partial government shutdown is how many things and parts of our life and parts of our community and the things that we do day to day are actually touched by the federal government, and we didn't know it. And of course, the people and the agencies and organizations that are not receiving funding during the partial shutdown are what they call non-essential. And certainly they are non-essential. We didn't know they were doing these things. We didn't know the federal government was involved in food banks. You know, we knew, obviously, they were involved in EBT, but, you know, seriously, we think of that system, the EBT system, as being kind of an automatic rolling system. But no, there's government involvement in there. Another example, the Bureau of Land Management that handles wild Mustangs, you know, they herd them up and sell them off, send them off to be killed in some cases, but you know they manage. Manage is a putting a strong word on it. They oversee the management of the Western federal lands, which is about 2/3 of the West. I think is owned by the federal government, controlled by the federal government, and mismanaged by the federal government. We know that. That's not something we learned today, but you know they have adoption scheduled throughout the year. They have Mustang programs. I happen to be involved in one of them, and just from a very distant, I have some knowledge of it, and they've stopped. They can't adopt out any Mustangs because somebody sitting in the Bureau of Land Management office can't put his little stamp on it, his Napoleonic stamp of approval on a program that should be self-managed and continuing because all the people who work it are not all federal paid people, mostly volunteer organizations, other types of things. But no, they're all waiting on some bureaucrat, which is a non-essential bureaucrat. We knew that because he didn't get paid. Now we're finding out, well, wait a minute, he really isn't essential, but he's causing pain in my life. Well, again, I don't know if Trump planned this, but it's beautiful. It's a brilliant thing that he has done because people are recognizing that the government is doing things it doesn't need to be doing. And, of course, we knew it was spending more than it should be spending. But it's also doing things it doesn't need to do. And he's helping us all kind of learn that lesson. Again, it's a theater. It's not a kabuki show, really. It's not, and again, some people aren't getting their paycheck. I understand that. Most of these federal workers will get back pay. There's never been a shutdown in my lifetime where they didn't give them back pay. They'll get their back pay. Whether they worked or not, they'll get it. So I'm not completely, you know, worried about a lot of these guys on a personal level. But on a national level, this is theater, and it's gamesmanship, something that I think Nancy Pelosi, while she's good at it, she's not as good at it as Trump is. And I don't think she took it as seriously as Trump took it. So, you know, so here they are on a standoff on $5.7 billion out of $1 trillion, that's pennies. Out of, you know, that's in our budget, that's pennies. And they're fighting over these pennies because the words symbolize something, and I get that. But it's theater, so I'm not overly worried. But I probably am running out of time, and I wanted to share one little thing. My father-in-law had passed away back in December, and he was a contractor, worked for defense agencies, sometimes for the CIA, back in the day, back in the Cold War time frame. And so we're going through his desk and stuff his wife is getting rid of, and it's just junk, a lot of swag from the government. And one of the swags from the CIA that he had received was a little calculator, CIA calculator, and it had some slogan on it from the CIA. You flip it over, made in China. I don't know. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if it's hilarious or not. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, and it fits in with the whole charade that we call the government. it's a charade. It's entertaining. I think you have to take the jokes and the laughs. They certainly present many opportunities for us to laugh. And I thought that was hilarious. But
I'll tell you, Karen, both you and Frank Cordero, our first guest, another guest tonight, have been talking about the entertainment value of this show in Washington. And I'll tell you, most of the time, I just turn it off. You know, I just don't listen. But I think maybe you're both right, and maybe I should start approaching it that way.
I don't watch the news that much. I pick and choose the things that I look at because it can be frustrating to follow it and be obsessed with all of the reporting. But if you can pick out the funny things and laugh, I think we're doing good. We're good citizens if we do that. That's my definition.
I always like laughing, and I think it's a very healthy reaction to life.
Yes, it is.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
What? Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest is Michael Annis. Michael Annis joins us each month from Denver, Colorado. Michael is the executive editor of Howling Dog Press. He's an activist, a poet. And right now we're going to attempt to contact Michael Annis in Denver, Colorado.
Well, that didn't work. Let me try it again. I spoke to Michael earlier and he expected to be available. So we're just going to try it again. Well, we still seem to be having some problems. Michael did mention that his son's been sick and he might not be available, but he was really 90% certain that he would be. Let me try one more time. And if this doesn't work, Mike, I hope that you will have something else we can...
Hello.
Michael,
hello.
You're here. All right. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream radio show. We were getting worried.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. I think the phone got unplugged or something, but I didn't do it.
All righty then. Hey, Happy New Year. We look forward
yeah.
to Bye-bye.
Welcome to 2019. Hello?
Yes, go.
Okay. Tonight, I will read part 4 of my poetic meditation Ab initio, this selection in remembrance of my friend, the brilliant poet and beautiful human being, Molly Jean Bernstein, who passed on in 2017. I begin with a quote by William S. Burroughs, who figures prominently in this work. Love is a virus from outer space. Ab initio, ab initio. In the left brain landscape, alone, yet continually observed and bore down upon, imagining and reimagining the multiverse, slinks right brain autonomy, continually rebelling out from under the control of left brain domination, envisioning a co-independence where the world of Homo sapiens is not occupied, but inhabited in an identity so new, so revolutionary, the intentioned, it could have hearkened only from the primeval dream pool of ancient eons, desiring a fullness neither repressed nor manipulated to servitude, igniting exponentially, expanding understanding between right and left brain hemispheres, there being, as one, a transcendent psychic amassing and exploding infuriation, a single malignant organism eating all malignancy, possessed inside the jaws of non-thought malice to rid existence of possession, its saints and angels, its stations of the cross, moving backward through the wormhole of psychic regression into a multiverse that ultimately transfigures direction and transcends singularity. Tectonic plates of the skull splitting open, rupturing, emitting the siren scream of nothingness, rampant on the seething seas of alienation. Brain hemispheres livid with toxicity. Right half, left half, east and west, toxic with boiling rivers of psychoses, churning in greed and war and imperial conquest, man over the earth, nation over nation, God over God, gender over gender, plunging through the sweet pink petals of her holy of holies, sucking, then thrusting into her, lying naked, electrified, thrusting together, plunging into the shadows of infamy, lovingly chewing her rectal glands, your madness immersing into her dripping scent, her gyrating cunt wrapped around your teeth and lips, climaxing from her hips, the reservoir of your being, a new language, the deep crying cerise of her swelling areoli, fueling your engines, and you name her immeasurable and endless desire, naming her primal lust that you might control her by unleashing her. Yet to control her is futility, while to unleash her is the word of the newfound God within you, as you drive your stake into the heart and heat of the goddess. Here, upon the page of this skin map of birth and rebirth, your tongue creates your phoneme symbology, haunting, evocative, rising up from darkness of the ages, a seething sexual current vortexing around itself. As DNA broadening from stream to river in the inhabitation of a new life form, here as a flash of flesh, here as the flesh of delicate and delectable suffering, then nothing, nothing chained to the chain of nothing's chain, a micronic memory of you, Homo eroticus, glinting this dewdrop point quivering the vastness of universe. Her moans, a harsh obsession under blackmail starlight. This problem and dynamic reversal of hemispheric balance, when north inverts south and love inverts hate, where aloneness invents and inverts conjoining. And by the tongue and the finger probe, one inverts and invents two divided by one in the maelstrom of consciousness. The ash on the end of his lit cigarette, tucked in the corner of his mouth, dangles smoking and curling, burning menacingly like a 4th of July glowworm. Slowly going aphasic, he methodically loads the 12-gauge, then archetypes hyena impatiently watching life evaporate from a dying antelope, knowing a well-placed neck bite would hasten the process. His assistant, named John, nervously sets up the next 4 foot by 8 foot by 3/4 inch slab of plywood. Deftly, but anxiety-ridden, John wanes, then places 10 aerosol cans of different colored spray paint here and there in proximity to the center of the sheet of glue-embalmed wood. The cans finally stabilized, John dives headlong into the brush, as suddenly old Bull Lee, channeling Doc Holliday, draws lightning fast from the hip, squeezing the trigger in one drunken sweep of his index finger. The roaring blast punctures holes in half of the cans, erupting them into midair, yet curiously leaves several standing exactly as placed. The paint has exploded in a shower of angst, disconcerting the wooden canvas, and the pellets have torn holes in its midsection. "Spare!" yelps John from the wings. "Objection overruled," chides Bull Lee, dropping two more shells into the chamber, firing again, again, splintering circles, dancing his inner child into bliss, a whiskied-up dervish whistling Dixie. To reason is not to perceive. All shamans say one cannot reason one's way to truth. The Pharisees reasoned. Christ perceived. John, the hands-down lunatic of Patmos, said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word? John knew Christ, and to be Christ is beyond any verbal language. Rather, its embodiment, its culmination and end result, its transfiguration and transcendence, as are we, Homo Christos, the new being, affirming outside of the context of one religion or another all that Christ said and did, all the miracles performed, too many for the world to contain them all, for to contain them shuts the veiled door, eliminating transcendence from an earthly state to a divine stature. And language, that deception, that impersonator of reality, states Christ-like, the essence of Christ's message, saying, "Tune in, turn on, and drop out." One speaks it forth, speaks it into being. One transcends language to bring it into being, for language is a liar. Riding bareback on the genes, the meme incites, empowering the genes to mutate and transfigure. Christ lines up his paint cans, each one filled with billions of colored souls, pulls back the trigger of the crucifixion, and blasts away at death, disguised as the ignorance of the world. The life force and death blow of language, transcending and transfiguring oneself from a dense, foreboding forest of damaged neurons interlocked by pools of sperm and ovum, resurrecting the new being that utilizes for the benefit of the species far more than a mere 20% of its brain. Art is not only a visionary preoccupation of recreating wombs. The view from the inside and time inside the womb is unlike any other, but moreover, the recreation of the complete being, the second coming in the widening gyre, eternal through more than its seed. The artist was safe, but so alone in there, looking outward through the birth canal, awaiting his journey, while he looked back inward at the veins and filamental algae of human souls from which he was to come. The artist creates murals of human resurrection, churning through the interrelated space-time frequencies of the universal psyche. In the currency of art, the coinage is, how and to what end do humans procreate intellectually, believing lies of their own integrity, lies of their own humanity, and the value of their own validity?
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Chuck.
These are just amazing. It listening to you read it, it's just a fascinating experience. And the different directions that you go and you kind of bring it all back home. It's amazing.
Well, I'm practicing to be a preacher, Chuck.
Yeah.
I think I could probably get an audience of true believers that are absolutely confused about where it is we're headed. At least that's been my experience. Anyway, I want to congratulate you and Mike, especially, and all your featured guests for building the new American dream into what I consider to be a formidable force of challenge to stale thinking and presumptions and assumptions that attempt to dominate and control the human mind. And bravo and thanks to our loyal audience, presently over 32,000 strong, who, I am certain, are they who cultivate critical thinking abhorrent of propaganda such as this. So anyway, I hope to see you again in February.
Michael, the strength of our show is the amazing quality and variety of our guests, and we really appreciate having you every month, and thank you for all the compliments, too.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's like you listen to this show, and you definitely go away thinking about something, you know? It's not like you go away with nothing on your mind, because it's always a challenge. And I find that to be absolutely refreshing. Yeah, it's cool. Okay. I like
that's exactly
yeah, what the guest
to be challenged. Thank you very much, Michael. And we will talk to you next month. Thanks again.
Cool, man. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Our next guest of the evening is Philip Faruggio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And Phil puts his columns all over the internet. I mean, just Google Philip Faruggio and you'll find a dozen very recent columns on several different venues. We are so lucky to have him. With no further ado, I'm going to bring on the recording that we made earlier. It's the Empire, stupid.
Okay, good evening, Working Stiffs. Okay, ghetto America. Monday was the anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. How appropriate to write about one of the most important issues he spoke and marched about, which were ghettos. The 1970s rock group War had a hit song in their The World is a Ghetto, 1972. So apropos now in our year of the Empire, 2019. Some of the lyrics went, walking down the street smoggy-eyed, looking at the sky starry-eyed, searching for the place weary-eyed, crying for the night in the night teary-eyed. Don't you know that it's true that for me and for you, the world is a ghetto? The term ghetto comes from the Jewish area of Venice in 1516. Its dictionary definition is a part of a city, especially a slum area, occupied by a minority group or groups. Now, students of the Jewish Holocaust will recall the ghettos created in Poland for the Jews. Steven Spielberg's great masterpiece film, Schindler's List, 1993, captured the horror and deprivation of the Krakow ghetto. Obviously, that type of ghetto will always be placed on the top of the list, along with today's Gaza Strip, guarded so efficiently and free of humanitarian aid by the Israelis. Is there some sort of terrible comparison here, whereupon the relatives of many who were destroyed by the Nazis are now responsible for ditto to the Palestinians? Well, that's food for another column. Our nation, one of the most prosperous in the world, can still have ghettos? Well, going by the dictionary definition, of course, America has always created ghettos. Maybe not as brutal as the two or four mentioned ones, but still harsh as can be. When well less than 1% of our populace earns mega millions each year, there's only so much left to share among we, the 99%+. If you use a high school economics class's lesson plan and say that there are 10 people in a group with $100 to go around, and one in the group has $70, well, then the other nine have to share the remaining $30. If shared equally, that comes out to about $3 each. This is in reality what is going on not only in America, but throughout the industrial world. What our American ghetto system does is not so much to keep we working stiffs in, but to keep truth, justice, and economic fairness out. For decades, what is labeled the mainstream media does the bidding of the fraction of that 1% who rule us. Yes, rule. We are repeatedly given propaganda through this media telling us that we are a democracy and a free enterprise system. Yet anyone with a junior high school education must realize that the majority of our so-called elected officials are within or are bordering on that less than 1%, meaning they have lost any semblance of knowing the travails of we working stiffs. The so-called free enterprise system is in reality a corporate behemoth that keeps us all in this ghetto of lower pay, dead-end jobs, inferior health coverage with a cut or drug medical system, no real safety net, and diminishing government services. Yes, there are levels of ghettoization, each one surpassing the other in just how low people can sink. Sadly, for people of color, the ghetto has existed for them far longer than for we with the white skin. Yet the fat cats who run this empire have gone on overdrive to screw all of us, regardless of how we look or sound. To stand behind the banner of either half of this one-party, two-party system does nothing to alleviate working stiff pain, period. As exemplified by MLK Jr., only mass protest and mass realization of who the real criminal class is can offer a road for change. King did not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Isn't it time for we in ghetto America to do the same? Thank you.
And now, a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we've received during the show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Vladimir in Moscow, Idaho, we get this.
Conspiracies are real. There are many more of them than people are aware. Just Google, for example, Operation Gladio or the Northwoods Project. These conspiracies alone are sufficient to chastise those uninformed Western peoples who go around saying our government would never kill its own people. False flag attacks are used by governments in order to pursue secret agendas that they cannot publicly acknowledge. If President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney had said, we are going to attack Iraq and a half dozen other countries in order to exercise hegemony over the Middle East, steal their oil and clear the path for Israel to steal the entirety of the West Bank of Palestine, diverting taxpayers' resources from serving the American people into the pockets of the armaments industries and spilling the blood of your parents, spouses, children, and siblings, even the American people would have resisted. Instead, following the advice of Hitler's chief propagandist, they said, our country has been attacked. Generally speaking, an observant person with a bit of education can recognize a false flag attack. However, few people pay attention beyond what the official media says, and the media no longer investigates and questions, but simply repeats the official story. Therefore, only a few realize what has really happened, and when these few open their mouths, they are discredited as conspiracy theorists. This method of control might be wearing thin. There have been so many false flag terrorist attacks in the 21st century that there are now thousands of experts labeled as conspiracy theorists. The neoconservatives who controlled the George W. Bush regime called for a new Pearl Harbor so that they could begin their wars of conquest in the Middle East. A new Pearl Harbor is what 9/11 gave them. The charge, conspiracy theory, is used to prevent investigation. 9/11 was not investigated. The Boston Marathon bombing was not investigated. A scripted story was issued and repeated by the media. The San Bernardino shootings were not investigated. Again, a pre-scripted story took the place of investigation. The success of false flag attacks in the U.S. led to their use in the U.K. and France. The Charlie Hebdo affair was not investigated, and the official explanation makes no sense. Dear Western peoples, if you wish to be able to walk down the streets of your cities without being accosted by police, demanded to present identity papers, searched, detained indefinitely, or assassinated without due process of law, if you wish to be able to express your opinion about your government, if you wish to be able to discuss current affairs or your personal affairs without being recorded by the NSA, if you wish to do any of this stuff, become aware of what is being stolen from you.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is sponsored this week by Operation Northwoods Deodorant. It hangs in the air long after you're gone. The Americans is also sponsored this week by Gravitas Cologne. If you are what you are, then you ain't what you ain't. Get some Gravitas Cologne today and at least smell like you mean business. Also sponsored by the National Intelligence Agency, Combating Stupidity. And also by Go Your Own Way Compasses for Republicans, as well as I Think We're Alone Now, Personal Computers for Americans. The Americans is also brought to us by Razor Wire Dental Floss. It's good for you, really. Crisis Actors of the Homeland. Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns while the world wails, fist clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and alleluia while they sleep on through the alarm. The house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message, let me put it this way, while 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis. The entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up, and if this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. And now the Americans. We rejoin our reality show already in progress.
And in the parallelogram office, we find President Cosmo Nutt at his big desk, working hard on his big, clean, yellow legal pad, drawing pictures of dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. Because of the government shutdown, the White House hot tub was warm at best. The sidewalks were getting shoveled only halfway. The military is only allowed to kill some people, not everybody. And the police have to beat people over the head with Nerf batons. Because of the government shutdown, the people's tax dollars now do not go for war, but for the children in the schools on the poor side of town. Because of the government shutdown, there is nobody in the office that makes young people sign up for the military in order to have a life in America. Because of the government shutdown, the planes flying over the stadium before the big game are made of paper mache. And because of the government shutdown, Ricardo the space cat, Buzz the space dog, Slappy the house alien, Jules the limo driver, Rusty the patsy, Mama Pajama Jemima the MK Ultra trainer, the child left behind, and Skip, the construction worker, self-taught on YouTube demolition expert, all did not have to work today. So they slept in. And then they flew kites on the lawn and went for a walk together and sat with the protesters by the front gate and really did not miss the government at all. And because of the government shutdown, the United States President Nutt could not go to his regular dollar signs, tanks, and boobs art class in the Capitol building. So he was home watching Sesame Street on the giant screen television in the parallelogram office, working on his dollar signs, tanks, and boobs on his yellow legal pad and watching John Kennedy Jr., dressed as the letter Q, reading to Big Bird and Elmo and Oscar. After listening since 2016 to the American prostitutes complain without providing a mere scrap of evidence of Russia meddling in U.S. elections, a person would think that the last thing Washington would be to meddle in other countries' elections. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Washington routinely meddles, but now has gone far beyond mere meddling. Washington has this day, January 23rd, declared that the elected president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, is no longer the Venezuelan president. Washington, not the Venezuelan people, has decided who is Venezuela's president, declaring the elected government to be illegitimate. President Trump, elected by diktat, the Venezuelan president. Today, I'm officially recognizing the president of the Venezuelan National Assembly, Juan Guaido, as the interim president of Venezuela. Clearly, Guaido is in Washington's pocket, or Washington would not have chosen him. Maduro, like Chavez before him, has committed the unpardonable crime of representing the Venezuelan people instead of American corporate and financial interests. Washington simply does not tolerate Latin American governments that represent Latin American people. A U.S. Marine, General Smedley Butler, said he and his Marines made Latin America safe for the United Fruit Company and investments by U.S. banks. So now Venezuela has two presidents, one elected by the people and one appointed by Washington. How long before Washington does this to Russia, China, Iran, Syria, Turkey, India? Washington managed to frame and remove from power the female reformist president of Argentina and to replace her with a right-wing Washington puppet. Washington managed to frame, remove from power, and imprison the leaders of the reformist party in Brazil and to install a right-wing Washington puppet. Washington managed to dispose of the reformist government in Ecuador, install a Washington puppet, and use him against Julian Assange. Washington interfered in the French election by framing the likely socialist candidate, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, on a bogus rape charge that fell apart after removing Strauss-Kahn from contention. The reformist government in Bolivia is also under Washington pressure. Somehow, the rest of the world does not become outraged by Washington's massive interference in the political affairs of other countries. As long as Latin American or any reformers fail to understand that Karl Marx was correct, that there can be no reforms, no revolution, no improvement for ordinary people as long as the old order is left in place, Washington, not Latin Americans, will control Latin America.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Solomon Sendak of Moonrock Lake has been asked by the Daughters of the American Revolutionary Sisters of the Cross of Jesus the Savior and Ellen the Alien to write the preface to a new book written by 9 elderly nuns who are now undercover in the hills of eastern Iowa. The book is entitled You People Are So Stupid. Solomon Sendak sent us a copy of his preface and said we could read it here if we have time. Well, we have time right now. We've lived through years and years of American life with all its banalities and trivialities and ritual, going through the motions until this day. And Finally, I am able to say that the whole war on terror is phony. The whole meme winds up through the fake terror attack since then, and only a scattered few outlaws know where it's leading. But we are Butch and Sundance, you and I, and we're going to head them off at the goddamn pass. All of American life leans on the fake attacks of September 11, 2001. Oh, the killing and the dying that day were real. But the rest of our culture based on that false event is phony and fake, built in sand, so to speak. George W. Bush did it, yes. That stupid idiot knows the truth, and he will never tell you. He is as afraid now as he was sitting in front of that second grade class. He knew the material was over his grade level. You've seen his press conferences where he's asked the questions and he dances around them saying there's a time for politics, there's a time for jail cells. Dick Cheney did it. You heard the quote from Mineta about the incoming whatever into the Pentagon? Condoleezza Rice did it. She knows the truth, an actual terrorist. Karl Rove did it. We're an empire now and you will be left to study what we have done while we go on to do other evil things. Israel did it. The dancing Israelis on Israeli television saying we were only there to film the event. You saw all that. You know all that, and still you park in your same spot at work, go in at the same time, go home, come back again. How much more proof do you need? My mother once said when she was young they heard the War of the Worlds fake radio broadcast and it scared them. They got into the car and drove just to be moving, to be doing something, I guess, when the world ended. I think we do that every day. In our case, we know what's going on. We think there's nothing we can do about it, so we just work as hard as we can and shop and drink and get into debt and whatever it takes just to be in motion. Because if we sit still, the world will end and we'll just be sitting here. We used to have a great world. Woods, lakes, oceans. Animals, people, and it's gone. The greatest generation, the silent generation, the silent majority, the younger generation, Generation X, baby boomers, millennials, Gen Z. Everyone is talking after church on the phone, texting, surfing, Facebooking, just all around communicating. But so you have, well, nobody is really saying anything. Not that what you're saying is wrong or you shouldn't talk. No, no, I wish I could communicate like you. You're doing great things, creating, talking, being good to each other. Laughing, being funny, working hard, learning new things, all that, but it's not enough. Even all that doesn't get to the root. All that, ideas, plans, well, it's just ridiculous if we don't even care enough to understand how we're being manipulated by lies. Yes, by the CIA, the rich, the government, all that standard conspiracy theory jargon you've learned to mistrust. If your life is going to make sense to have work, don't throw your present life away. Just find room for more because there is more, so much more. Just saying. So yeah, Operation Northwoods was a plan concocted by American leaders to murder American citizens involving planes and fooling the American people into believing it was done by someone else. In order to justify our military attack in Cuba. President John Kennedy was informed of the plan and he vetoed it. They killed him. President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney did not turn down the plan to attack America on September 11, 2001. They went along with it. Perhaps they'll plan it. They live. Big houses. Big lives. We don't know all the details. We do know they've not told us the truth. The truth is not important to them, and neither are we. That is our world. Of course it matters. Practically everything is connected to that day. When you go as fast as you can on the elliptical, watching the TV in front of you, and you're sweating out your demons with your phone and your water and your locker key and all the little handy slots on the machine. You're not connected to the TV because you're above that. You're listening to your music on your iPod. This is your workout and your world. You have those earbuds shoved so far into your head, they're almost touching. Do anything not to have to listen to those two women talking to your right, or those two men to your left, or those goddamn idiots in front of you or behind you. More idiots. Small talk doesn't only bore you. It's more than that. It isn't to the point. It's a disruption. It's hesitating. It's cowardice. You'd sooner poke out your eardrums than have to hear the conversations of the Americans around you. You're not an American. You're not one of those. You are different. You're better. You're smart. They're stupid. Stupid idiots. You cast glances towards CNN on the one TV, and there's cooking on the middle TV and house shopping on the third every day, all day. The three choices. You run, run, sweat. The TVs play loop after loop. You know the truth, but you say nothing. You know these people. They're Americans, and they will kill you. But the first utterance of 9/11 was, they know what you're getting at. They come toward you. They know your whole argument, your whole life, and they will kill you. You shut your mouth, or we will shut it for you. On the TV, the standard announcers talk about the election, sometimes terror, more elections, a little more terror. On the cooking shows, they compete, bake, taste, run full speed around a kitchen. The house shoppers clutch hundreds of thousands of dollars in tight fists. They seek a nice space for their comely lives. All based on the premise that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were done by radical Islamic terrorists. To understand and proclaim the truth would be to topple the turnip truck in the middle of Mayberry, to overturn the pierogi cart right in Red Square, the apple cart in front of the White House, the money changers' tables in the temple. There would be no more CNN, no more cooking with the chubby countess, no more biggest house, best bathroom, widest kitchen. You might not even need to artificially sweat yourself to death each day. Life would not be fake. It would be interesting. You would talk to your neighbor and not about stupid, idiotic trivialities, but things that matter. You would not want to just die and give up and get it over with. You would want to live. That's what they've taken from you. Your life. It matters. Think of what could be done with the billions of dollars that are spent for flag napkins at the Church Fellowship Hall. For the little flags for everyone in the crowd at the ball game. For the flags for each student in the bleachers as they wheel into the gym, the last living veteran of the war that killed the Indians, and the flags next to the altar. The flag lapels for the United States Congress. The flags in the cemetery. Nobody really listens to TV news anymore, just the dumb people, and you're not one of those. Nobody reads newspapers, just the ones with kids in sports. Nobody listens to radio, just the old guy at the post office who has Rush on full blast all afternoon. Everyone's smarter than that. There's other stuff to occupy our time. We don't have to spend all day plowing fields or killing Indians or discovering washer dryers and automatic garage door openers and security systems. That's all been done. We really don't have that much to do. This is our Jetsons time. We can just whoosh around in the air with no roads and have something like fun. And, well, it's not really like that. So we imagine. We daydream. We wonder what life would be like over there, or if only. I imagine that when we are not sweating, we are studying history. There's more to it than you know. U.S. history. There are lots and lots of Indians slaughtered. The Ludlow Massacre, Haymarket Square, Palmer Raids, lynchings. There's so much to know. If you don't know at least some of it, you don't know anything. You don't know what's going on as you watch CNN, but surprisingly, CNN does make sense if you know what you're looking at. You're looking at the culmination of manifest destiny. Such highly refined, sugar-coated superficiality that you can't even see it. Kind of fascinating, actually. The Soviets drove up to someone on the street and shoved them inside. We have cloaked the Black Maria and made it smell like freshly baked bread. The kind you stick in the oven to try to sell the house. American History 101. Yeah, history's boring. That's right. Think of it as a Billy Joel sound song. Oswald didn't do it. James Earl Ray didn't do it. Osama didn't do it. Sirhan didn't do it. Oscar Torrijos, John Perkins, Salvador Allende, Jaime Roldos Aguilera, Hugo Chavez, El Salvador, the Phoenix Program, Operation Condor, Commies, Reds, JFK, MLK, RFK, Wellstone, Lumumba, Arbenz, Mossadegh, COINTELPRO, the American Indian Movement, the Black Panthers, the 60s anti-war movement, Scalia stops the counting of votes in Florida, George H.W. Bush smirks at the Ford funeral when he talks about the shooting of John Kennedy, the deaths of the Kennedy witnesses, the death of Gary Webb, Michael Hastings. How many more deaths? There are hundreds, thousands, heart attacks, cancer, car crash, plane crash, along with personal character assassinations, the people driven crazy. MK Ultra, the persons trained to kill, minds altered. And probably, maybe more every day, we don't even know. This is the American Soviet novel we are living in. All we need is more vodka. Somebody inhabiting a novel doesn't freaking realize it. It isn't even real. It's made up. The Soviet Union, you got disappeared by they, but the people had a good idea of what was going on. In America, years later, our they is so sophisticated, we really haven't any idea. This is America. You got your war on drugs, Panama just caused, Gulf War, now we're getting somewhere. 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Aurora, Sandy Hook, going too fast here, slow down, can't, no time, no, there's more. Tucson, Aurora, Boston, Paris, San Bernardino, H-Wing Carver, Dean Rosen. Barack Obama buried at sea? George Bush. There's a time for politics. It's an absurd insinuation. Dancing Israelis, we were just there to film it. There's a lot more, and still, that's just what we know of. Imagine how much is happening that we've never heard of, never had a whiff of the sulfur, so that's where we are, and it's very confusing. It's meant to be. But then again, there's this book you hold in your hand. Have you ever read a novel where you just really connect? It's like the writer knows your own mind, like you could have written this book yourself. This guy is really smart. He thinks just like you do. I think you already know what's in this book. You could have written it yourself, but you didn't. You were busy sweating and shoving those goddamn earbuds way into your ear so the stupid people would not ruin your workout. I know. I am you. You are me. We are Americans, stupid idiots. I'm the person on the elliptical, sweating. I'm the walrus. And I didn't write this goddamn book either. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We hope that you'll be back next week and every week. Because here we are. Because that was the news from Moonrock Lake. For all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. I'd like to thank you, Mike, and good night.
Thank you, Chuck, for all you do, all you did to make the interviews happen, the show happen, all that. Thanks you very much. And thanks to our guests, Michael Annis, Julius Alifon, Karen Kataski, Philip Ferruccio, and Frank Cordero. Good night, all.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. Thank God I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. My father was a gambling man down in New Orleans. Now the only thing a gambler needs is a suitcase and a trunk. And the only time that he's satisfied
this message.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support. And your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive.
Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.